Father, now as we get into your word, again, we ask for wisdom and understanding from it. Energize us, charge us up, so that we can do the work that you want us to do, but more importantly, that you can do the work that you can do in our lives. And as we get excited about you and energized by your Holy Spirit, we're more yielding to you, and we thank you for that. So have your will be done in each and every one of our hearts tonight, that we'll all be drawn closer to Jesus Christ. We thank you for it. In his name we ask it. Amen. Alrighty. After a pause of about a month and a half, we're going to continue in Ephesians. So that's where we're going to go back tonight. Ephesians chapter 3. As we've been studying through that. Mostly preaching through that. We've been studying Romans for about a year and a half now. We're going through that verse by verse and most times word by word. And here over in Ephesians, there's something that we really need to catch. And it's really made an impression on my life more than it ever has before. It should. Each time I read and study it. And the Lord really wants us to see this passage tonight. Greater than we've ever known it before, because there's something here that we really need to see and understand. Well, there's a few things, but a couple that are very important. Chapter 3, starting with verse 13. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him who glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, amen. Now in verse 13 it says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations. One of my favorite things in the last several years of my ministry is throwing away some books I had. I threw them away several years ago. And that was my Greek and Hebrew lexicons and stuff like that, because I found out that they were all translated and were using not the Textus Receptus or the Masoretic text for their enlightenment of the scriptures to bring us illumination. So once I found that out, I says, well, I can't trust him anymore. I don't know if the word I'm looking up that was in the original Greek is originally in the Greek that I want to know about. I can't trust him. So, out they went. And I've had a greater time ever since. And that is just for two things, and you know I've been on this kick for quite a while now, but I think it's one way that you're supposed to study and understand. I've said it before. I believe God really wants us to understand what these words mean in their context. So just with the concordance and with your dictionary, preferably a Webster's 1828 dictionary, you can understand the scriptures better than you've ever known them before. He says here in verse 13, where I desire, that word desire has really been watered down in our culture. Desire is a word that had quite a depth of meaning, but it had a specific meaning that was twofold. The word desire means a wish, but a wish that is and very possible to come true. When you use the word wish, like, well, I wish I'd win the lottery. Well, what's the possibility of that coming true? Nothing. Or slim and none. And Slim left home, so that's quiet. Come to none. when we look at the word desire, we see that it's a wish that can and wants to be real, true in our lives. Desire. It says to is a wish to possess some gratification or source of happiness which is supposed to be obtainable. In other words, when Paul said, "Wherefore I desire," he says, my desire for you is something that's obtainable and is something that can be realized upon. The second part of desire is that it's an internal act, something within inside of us. We can desire whatever we want to. We are not limited by some outside force of what we can desire. We have the Holy Spirit within inside of us, residing inside of us. He puts the correct desires in our life and motivates us. Just like Brother Golson to go down to Honduras. He put that desire in his heart, that love and compassion for those people. That desire to be here in Pastor. God has that desire in us. The second part of it is desire that is internal act, which by influencing the will makes us proceed to action. Makes us proceed to action. It's just not something like a wish where, you know, it's here one moment, you think about it for 5, 10 seconds or 5 minutes, and it's gone. A desire is something internal that is obtainable. Something real. Not something fleeting or just a flick of your imagination. And it makes us do something about it. So when we saw that, and see in this verse, it said, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory, for this cause." What is this cause? His desire. That they don't faint. "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He does something about it. It's obtainable. It's something real. And what does he do? He prays about it. It leads him to action. And when we see these two and even three aspects of the word desire, we can see what happened. It had a cause and it had an effect. That desire. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." One of the first things Paul always does that when he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ or the Heavenly Father, he glorifies the Lord. He praises Him. That's the first thing that we should do in praise, in prayer. Just glorify God. Be thankful that you're a part of the family of God. And that's what he's doing here. He says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." He praises God for bringing us in the unity of faith, for the great realm of salvation, that we could all be part of this family, the family of God, the ones that have trusted in Christ. That's how he starts out. Now, the other part of his prayer is that he would grant you. What is a grant? That is something given that never is expected to be repaid. Never. You get a grant from the government, people don't want loans. They want grants, right? Well, so you got to pay back. A grant is you never pay back. Because you can get it back or you can't pay it back. Doesn't make any difference. Here's something that we can't pay back. But that God wants us to have, He is granting to us something that He will grant you according to the riches of His glory. Wow. How big is that bank? That's not like some of these banks that are going belly up lately, huh? They make bad decisions. God doesn't ever make a bad decision. They ran out of funds. God's bank never runs out of funds. So isn't it kind of our benefit to put our trust in that bank and get funds from that bank and blessing from that bank? Yeah. realized this. He understood this. He knew it. He experienced this. And now he doesn't want people to miss the blessings of God on their life because they look at Paul and all the tribulations and hardships he's going through and feel sorry. And he's seen this. Some people say, oh, boy, Paul, we feel so sorry for you. And what does, when you feel sorry with that aspect in mind, what's one thing that happens to you? If you keep that attitude up very long, you start feeling gloomy and sorrowful, what happens? It spreads like a virus, a bacteria. And next thing you know, every aspect of your life is going to start being gloomy and sorrowful, and it's going to change your outlook on things. He says, I don't want what's happening to me to produce sorrow in your life, because then your life, your eyes will be off Christ, and you'll miss your blessings that God wants to give to you, grant to you. It's more than just the word give. Grant is a powerful word. It means just to hand out. A government grant is to hand out whatever they can give and never expect anything back. And that's what God wants to do. It's not just give us something. It's grant us to us. It's already been proposed. It's already been passed in the legislature of heaven and the Trinity. He wants us to have it. He says, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. We talked about this before. How the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen our inner man, our desires, our soul, so we don't faint. And even our bodies can be lifted up. When you have a desire to live, what effect that can happen in your life? What effect that can produce in your life? You go farther than you ever thought you could go before. You do greater things. And then being led by the Spirit of God in faith, you can do things that, hey, this wasn't me. God did this. That's what he wants us to realize in our lives. Also, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The Spirit of Christ is dwelling in us, the Holy Spirit, and the mind of Christ. And what he wants to do? Have it dwell by faith. Dwell means to abide. He needs to live there. Take up residence by faith. He wants us to, these people are already saved. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the brethren. He says, I want you to live day by day. It's a process. It's a day by day thing to live by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. That word rooted means to it was right on the end of the paper, so I had to flip it. I've already gone over, but I want to be sure I've got it right. Rooted, it means having its roots planted or fixed. Deep and radical in nature, such as rooted sorrow or rooted prejudice. It's not like an illustration like a row of trees that have its roots just underneath the soil. When the big wind comes by or a flood comes by, what happens? Down the creek you go or down the river or they get toppled. This word rooted means to ascend downwards. He wants us to be rooted and grounded. Grounded means a firm foundation, not dirt. At least not right here. It's not ground as we think about it. Grounded means a firm foundation. He wants us to have our roots planted, reaching downwards into a firm foundation, and that foundation is love. As we've seen before, people are deceived nowadays, especially Christians, because they think that God doesn't love them anymore. How can God forgive me for all the things I've done after I've been saved? Some people we meet nearly every week. How can God save me of all the